In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Done.
Okay.
No, that was the end. We're finished.
Oh, great.
No, that was the start.
Oh. Man.
No, now it's over.
Stop that. You're just messing with me.
Okay, yeah. No, it started. But now it's done. But now it's the beginning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast that donates 100% of its proceeds to a charity organization that attempts to give sharp knives to homeless people.
That's useful.
Less than you would think.
Oh.
But luckily our proceeds are very small.
Okay.
So that's good. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 92.
92! We seriously have to talk about this 100 thing.
Yeah, we do. But what happened with 91? Because last I checked, which was pretty much right before I came over here, because that's the only way I can remember what number we're on.
Yes.
Nobody had commented on the episode.
On 91?
Yeah.
Are there no comments?
None on episode 91.
I could have sworn there was
some. Well, there might be now. I mean, you know, I left 20 minutes ago.
But no, I thought there were some before that. Let me look here.
Didn't register for me.
No, there are none.
So as of the actual recording, there are none. And who knows, once you've posted it out there, this episode 92 might get posted without any comments on the previous episode.
What happened? That means it's over.
I
guess it's done.
Did alternate universe Tony and William offend people, or?
Possibly. I have no idea what was in that episode.
Well, that would be too
but
bad.
But it's weird anyway, because, and I told you this before, not on the air, episode 90, the cancer episode,
had a lot of people.
Had a record-breaking amount of traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
But not a lot of comment. I mean, we had some, but it wasn't a particularly comment-heavy episode.
Well, I mean, let's
face it. I found that interesting.
We do have a lot of shows where we might have, you know, 14 comments, but they're all from Blood Sparrow.
Yes.
That does happen. So then if she never comes around, we might not have comments for a long time.
No, but just in general, it was not as active a conversation as it often is. But we had the most traffic there. And you and I had both felt, you especially, you wouldn't shut up about it, that it was one of our best episodes ever. And we really liked it. And speaking of which, Azure Talon really liked it.
Good.
He seems to be doing well. I talked to him shortly after, but I haven't talked to him recently. I did just today, though, see Facebook picture. The hair is now gone.
Oh.
He looks really weird. But he looked kind of weird before, so I figure it kind of evens out.
Okay.
But he liked it, too, and we all thought it was a really good episode. We didn't hear a lot from that one. I don't know. I mean, it's the holidays, so maybe people are slowing down. I hope people are still listening.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. But I don't know what we're going to do about 100. We have to do something special.
Yeah, we really do.
But nobody has really had a lot of workable ideas.
Like going to Disneyland and broadcasting from there.
Well, people have theorized things of like call-in shows and stuff, but that's way beyond my ability.
Well, that'd be really hard considering we don't broadcast live. Or I don't even know how we would do that.
Skype, basically. Oh. We'd tell people beforehand and we'd set up a whole thing. And that's weird. I don't know. I've thought about special 100th episode questions. I've thought about guest stars and stuff. I don't know. But we need something, people. So be thinking about it and comment on the blog and tell us. The blog, that being themagicaltalkinghat.com, go there and talk to us and comment on the previous episode. Because it's lonely.
For those of you just
joining us, as so often happens,
yeah.
4 minutes into the episode, never before in any others, I should tell you, this podcast, basically, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email that it checks and it spontaneously takes stuff from the email account, spits it out into little cards that we read. So you guys email with comments and questions. We read them, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole deal. And we have not sat here together for 3 weeks.
Three?
Really? Yeah, because 1 week ago we did the... we had the alternate dimension ones.
Right.
And 2 weeks ago we were in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, we haven't been here.
Yes, we haven't been
here. I wonder why it seemed like a long time since I drove here.
Exactly. I thought,
it's just been a week or 2 weeks or whatever, but no, it's actually been three.
Because we were at the hospital at that time,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, powerful stuff. So, how have your 2 weeks been, William?
You know, nothing really spectacular to report. Our household has been mass affected.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
You didn't talk... You talked about that on the way in. You didn't talk about it, so you should tell them that.
Well, much to our surprise, BioWare decided to release a 3-pack of Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 together.
The whole thing.
And this was for PS3, and this was a big deal, because they hadn't originally released the first Mass Effect on the PS3 platform. So... And we talked about this before a lot of times, that the reason we weren't playing Mass Effect was because we'd heard you could import your character and all the choices they made and everything, but you had to stay with the same platform, naturally. And we have a PS3, so the only way we could have done it was to play it on the PC, which we don't typically like to do. So we thought we were just out of luck in playing Mass Effect, but I don't even know how we found out about it, but... we found out about it in time to get the pre-order price, which was only $60.
Really?
For all three games. Yeah. Amazing. So so we have it. We've been playing it, and we're almost done with the first one.
What do you think?
Well, it's good. It's interesting. But, you know, remember, Mass Effect came out in 2007.
Yeah.
And it shows its age just a little bit. And also, as we anticipated... You know, this is the first release on this platform. A little bit buggy.
There's some bugs, yeah.
But it's pretty cool, and we look forward to the more recent games. Yeah. So that we can.
I will tell you what bothered most people most about the first one was the planet exploration and going to all the planets and driving around, and they all freaking look the same, and there's hardly anything there.
Yeah,
and you do that for hours and hours and hours.
This was a complaint about. This was a complaint also about Dragon Age 2. Similar complaints.
Does it have that? I still haven't played Dragon Age.
Well, not other planets, of course, but other locations, and they're all the same, or they look the same.
Okay.
And this was a huge complaint about. And so while we're playing Mass Effect, you know, we're really thinking to ourselves, wow, this is a lot like Dragon Age 2.
Well, I will tell you, that goes away. You don't have that shit in 2 or 3.
Well, you know, and again, when we played Dragon Age 2... we didn't have any complaints about it. When later I read some of the other people's complaints, I realized, yeah, that was kind of annoying.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind it as much. But it's one of those things. After 2 and 3, when you look back, you're going to be like, wow, that was way worse.
Yeah, that's what I... that's what I actually
was much more annoyed with running my ass around the Citadel early on in the game. All these missions, you're on the Citadel, and they're not even good. They're all missions that it's like, go to this place, you go there and talk to this person. They're like, oh no, you have to go to this completely different place.
Yeah.
So it takes you 20 minutes to get there, and then they're like, no, go back to the first place. And just hours and hours of that. I was like, really? This is a game?
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
That annoyed me much more. But they also pretty well deal with that, too.
Well, we, you know, again, most of this stuff we've dealt with in other games, and it didn't bother us that much. And we also took into account that it's, you know, this is, what, 5 years old now, this
game?
Yeah. And
it was very impressive for the time. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
It's again, retrospect. They did so much better in 2 and in 3.
It's a fairly short game, even if you do all the side quests.
That is true.
Even if you do all the side quests, it's a fairly short game. But, you know, we're anticipating all the things we've heard about the second one and the third one, the improvements they make and whatnot. Yeah. So yeah, it's been interesting and it's been fun.
Off the air, when you're done with it, we have to talk, because, like, there are specific things, so it'd be like, oh, you know, did this person survive? Oh, did you have a romance with it? Because, and knowing what it all leads to later and stuff like that, it gets very interesting.
So, what about your 2 weeks?
I beat Assassin's Creed Revelations. which is an incredibly poorly named game.
Is this the very latest?
No, Assassin's this is Coup? The one right before that.
Wow.
And of the four games, not the one that just came out is the fifth one. Of the four I have played so far, I would say this is the least revealing game of all, has the least revelations in it. So yeah, it was really poorly named. It was still a good game. I still enjoyed it, and it made me very psyched. I surprised myself with this. I was telling Ben this the other day. I think Assassin's Creed may be my second favorite video game series.
Really?
Yeah, Mass Effect's my favorite, but I think Assassin's Creed might be my second favorite. I really enjoy them. I'm about to start Fallout New Vegas.
That's a heavy favorite in our house.
And that'll take a while.
Real heavy favorite. But, you know, the other adult in my house, here's the thing. She likes BioShock 1 and 2 a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. And mostly she likes the design and the themes, and she can overlook a lot of other problems.
Yeah, yeah. Those are very popular. I think I would love them if I could play them, but they're first person, yeah. So.
But she also really likes, you know, Fallout New Vegas especially, because it's got a sort of a Western theme going on with it. And she also likes, but she really likes Skyrim. In fact, you know, she's playing Mass Effect, and she's having a hard time not comparing it to Skyrim, even though it's a lot older game.
Yeah.
But still, she's very impressed with Mass Effect and likes it. And so, you know, for it even to be in the running next to Skyrim says a lot, and I'm sure she'll enjoy the next two games even more.
I'm still waiting on Skyrim. It's going to be a while, but...
It's a pretty great game, really, all around. I mean, it's not just pretty. But it's just got a lot of good things going for it. It's a very well-rounded game.
But, so I did that. I've been playing a little side games on my computer. I got a deal on a few PC games, some, like, point-and-click adventure games, and, an old hack and slash called Torchlight, so I've been sort of playing those on the side. Mm. But not too much else with that. I believe I've seen two movies since we last spoke. Mm. Both of them on my television screen. Mm. We saw The Campaign.
Mm.
Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, comedy about running for Congress.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell punches a baby. Even though they spoiled it with the trailer, which is too bad, still hilarious to watch.
Was it?
Yes. Because, I mean, and part of it is clearly a CGI baby. Like, there's no question, but just the concept. And it was an accidental punching of a baby in front of a reporter was pretty hilariously done. That movie was funny. It should have been funnier. We liked it. We laughed. It's good to watch. It was nothing spectacular. And with that cast, it really should have been funnier than it was. And then last night we saw a movie that was recommended and lent to us by a friend and coworker, called Conspirators of Pleasure. It's weird. I informed my coworker today she probably should not lend that to other coworkers, because it might freak them the fuck out. What I knew going in was that it was a fairly short movie. It's only about 85 minutes.
Hmm.
It was made by someone in some Eastern Bloc country by a guy who's... It was his third film. He made a film called Alice and a film called Faust. And then he made this. And that... It has zero dialogue.
Hmm.
So it doesn't have to get translated at all. Hmm. And that it was really weird.
That can mean so many things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You keep saying
that,
but it doesn't... What's it mean?
No, that was what I was told up front. and that's what we knew going in. It is... I keep using the word kinky with it. I think my coworker doesn't necessarily find that appropriate. It's a narrative story. I mean, it's not like some documentary or something. It's a narrative story and sort of comedic in its way. But it's basically about fetishes. The film is not really sexually explicit. I don't think anything that would traditionally be called sex happens. There is not... There's some nudity. It's mostly actually male nudity, but not a lot. But it's basically about these various people that have weird fetishes that they put great effort into completing, sort of, and sort of the interconnectedness of them. Of, like, this one guy and the woman who lives across the hall and the postal carrier who comes by and all these different people. And it's weird and it's interesting. I'm trying to figure out if you'd be put off by the subject matter, because if you wouldn't, I would highly recommend that you see it. I think it's incredibly well shot. And the lack of dialogue is a fascinating device. It's very clear. There are a couple places. For a while, you could almost believe that there's no dialogue because there doesn't need to be. But there's a couple places where you're like, this is a conscious choice. In any other situation, they would be using words right here. Just a couple places, though. It's pretty smoothly done. And that device is very interesting. But it's just, it's really well shot and interestingly shot. And just well put together, I think, as a film. But it's, yeah, it's weirdness going on here. I mean, it's...
Why would I be put off by the subject matter?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure. Well, we've had this time. I think... Well, okay, we'll do it this way. For people to sit down and talk to you about their fetishes would, based on earlier conversations I have, make you uncomfortable, I believe.
It depends, but yeah, probably. I mean, but that's personal. I mean, this is a movie. I mean,
well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, is this, because it's fictional, is it then okay? Because, theoretically, this could still be coming from a true place of the filmmakers.
Well, yeah, I suppose. And I guess,
so I don't know how that kind of stuff deals.
When I'm watching a film and there's, like, a sexing scene in it even, I don't like that. I don't usually feel like it even contributes anything to the narrative or anything else. And that's part of why I don't like it, because I feel like it's gratuitous. But the other part is, I don't want to see that, even if it's fictional.
Yeah. And that's why I wasn't sure
here. Right. And I get what you're saying, but...
And I mean,
but this is a little bit different, because
it's... Okay, stupid people would say there's nothing sexual in this movie. I'll put it that way. But it's an incredibly sexual movie. Okay. There's just not a lot of explicit sex in it. And... I'm pretty sure everything takes place with individuals by themselves. But it's a lot of perverse things that we wouldn't consider sexual, but clearly the character does.
Interesting.
Sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, because it's, you know, it's really a matter of how far I can distance myself from what's going on, you know.
Which in this case may help. I think you could distance yourself pretty far from these guys.
Sometimes distancing myself helps, and sometimes it actually makes it worse. You know, it really, yeah. It's kind of a weird thing. I guess I appreciate your curiosity about whether I would be bothered by it.
From a craft perspective, I find it fascinating.
I'm not going to be offended by it. I just might not enjoy it.
Well, and the other thing I've learned is apparently this guy's other films are not at all like this. So you could check out some of his other films and see. But I think I like it. I feel like the producer was sort of take it or leave it. I feel like I liked it. I feel like there was a very strong, not necessarily stark, but strong message in it. Especially near the end, they sort of tied into weird things. That I found very interesting and very thought-provoking. So I liked that. Yeah, it might be worth a look. And it's very interesting, too, because it's done in some sort of Eastern Bloc country, and we're not positive of the year. It's probably 80s, but it has that weird thing where it looks old, but then you're like, but this is Eastern Europe. It's probably not quite as old as it looks.
I know, isn't that funny? I mean, even when you watch things that are supposed to be taking place in rural England, you know, you're thinking... Wow, this is in the 40s. Oh, wait, no, it isn't.
No. And so there were several moments like that. And I mean, and the whole thing actually starts... There were certain dating things, because the thing starts with one of the main characters in a news shop buying a pornographic magazine. And you're like, well, that dates it, because nobody fucking does that anymore.
Well, not here anyway, but I don't... who knows?
But, yeah, it was very interesting. And today, we had our holiday party at work.
Oh.
We actually called it a winter event.
How'd that go?
It was okay. They got a lot of complaints last year. They did things very differently last year, and they got a lot of complaints. And I feel like this year, to compensate, they just tried to do the opposite of everything that happened last year. Mm. And some of that was good, and some of that... It was fine. It was nice. I mean, it was good food. This is the first year they actually had alcohol. But it was strictly rationed. You got drink coupons with your name on it, and they actually compared the name to your badge. So you were very limited. And it was just beer and wine. And it was a really crappy wine. I actually didn't bother. I wasn't driving home, and I didn't bother to get my second drink, because I'm like, no, the wine wasn't that good. But the food was very tasty. It was fun to not be working. But, yeah. I'm not a big office party kind of guy, I think.
Well, I'm not either, but I thought the ones we had at Applied were okay.
I don't remember a lot of the... like building wide ones very well. Hmm. I like the little like potlucks and parties we would have like on our team. Those were fun. And I went to a couple of, I mean, like I remember a party when we all went to Chicago for the conference. Hmm. The one where I told the CEO that I was the man.
Yeah.
That party. You'd think I'd remember that less because I drank enough. But I remember that, and that was fine. If I recall correctly, that was the party where I, that night in my own hotel room, I accidentally ordered porn and accidentally broke my glasses.
Yeah. We don't have to talk anymore about that.
So that was interesting. And I was there while we were finishing getting the mortgage for the house, because I remember I got to the hotel and the front desk told me that we had gotten the house.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, and I told them it was awesome because it had a pool, and they were like, we're going to come visit you. yeah, I remember that. All right, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Not much going on.
No, I mean, it's coming soon. We're going to have to record a second episode out of this because next Thursday night, Trish and I will be driving to Illinois for about 6 days.
Well, providing the world lasts that long.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to be in Illinois for the apocalypse.
Well.
And that the apocalypse is on my niece's birthday.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah. I was trying to explain that, I think, to Ben today, that we had already explained that away and figured out why the Mayan civilization had been destroyed. Because of the economic collapse from creating a calendar that you could use over and over. Remember, we had this discussion.
That's right. Right.
The whole of Western economic civilization relies on all of us going to those stupid kiosks in the mall and buying a calendar every year with, like, kitties on it or something.
Right.
The Mayans did not learn this. I was flashing back to, I think Robot Chicken did the best one, where they had a quick bit that was the Mayans out there, and one of them takes the calendar and says, hey, ran out of room. The other guy looks and shrugs and says, that's going to freak somebody out in 2,000 years.
Well, you know, when... I don't know what's going on with Hostess right now, but, you know, someone was... You know, Hostess is going bankrupt or
closing. Yes, Hostess is going bankrupt.
Or whatever. And someone posted something about that saying, So just a few weeks before the end of the world and the one snack food we all counted on to exist through, through a nuclear war is no longer going to be available. Well played, Mayans.
Nice.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Take that as a sign. No, apparently, according to the producer, it's not going to be that sort of deal. It's literally going to be the end of everything. Like turn off the TV set.
Yeah, well,
we
can talk about that next.
Won't even be awake.
We need to talk about that next time.
You mean like in 40 minutes?
Whatever it is all for everybody else, it's a couple weeks. So let's not waste all our talk about that now.
Fine. I should mix these up good. I don't think they're mixed up good is what I'm saying.
Stir it up.
All right.
Crazy.
If you would like to write the hat, and you would, and you should, and do it, write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write us a question or topic or whatever there. If you want us to say who you are, sign your name. Otherwise, we're going to call it anonymous, even if your email is really obvious, because we don't see it. The hat sees it.
Crazy hat. Ooh. Oh, great hat of hats. Anon says, who will win the 2012 presidential election and why?
Wow, timely.
Well,
you want to field this one first? Wait. I'll take the first part if you take the second part.
Okay.
All right. Obama will win. Go.
Okay, here's the thing. You know that even before the election, I called it for Obama, and I did it on the air anyway. And I said why, because the fact is, you know, something really unique or special had to happen for Obama to lose, and a few things were in the running there near the end, but they weren't enough, and it really just comes down to, you know, he wasn't running against, I mean, Mitt Romney, I mean, even the Republicans didn't like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And they were going to get out the vote and get the Republicans out there to vote, but that's not, getting your party out to vote doesn't win elections. Getting those people in the middle is what does it, and none of those people were going to, not a significant number anywhere, were going to vote for Romney. That's just all there was to it. Anybody who was worried that a President Obama wouldn't win, I don't know why they were worried, because to me it was every bit as obvious as before. Although some last-minute scandals did make it little bit iffy.
After Benghazi, you said it'll
be
close.
I thought, and it was closer.
It was close.
Yeah, I thought it was closer than it was going to be.
The electoral districting or whatever worked hardcore in Obama's favor.
That's true, but it was
also
still closer than with McCain, and which I expected it would be. But and I did expect that Romney would do better. But it even though I didn't feel like the president was 100% slam dunk like against McCain, I knew it was like a 70-80%. I mean, to me, it was still as good. I called it in his favor without any hesitation, and that's really what happened. I wasn't surprised. I did think Romney would do a little bit better, but it doesn't matter. It's kind of over now. I'm surprised someone would ask a question that relies on.
Some people don't believe, I think, that they are randomly drawn or something. I don't know. We've had a few others that really were too timely. We've had questions that specifically address things that we talked about, I think, the week before, and that doesn't come up for months.
People need to understand that the show is, you know,
all the questions are in there.
Unscripted, unrehearsed, and uncensored. Yeah, the un-podcast. We're the 7-Up of podcasts.
We are. You're dating yourself with that one.
But yeah, I literally get in here, show up, we draw stuff out, we talk about it, we've not read them ahead of time, we haven't talked about them ahead of time, and then we don't edit it afterwards, so you hear it, it's almost like it's live, because we just put it out there exactly the way it is.
Preparation. Never had it, never will.
But yeah, I think we talked about the election a couple times.
We did.
And even
mostly
though
you did.
We usually try to avoid that kind of thing, but we called it for Obama pretty early. And
we're calling now. Ezzy, 2016. Get on it.
I do think that that in 2016 you're going to see, and I was saying this before, after the election, a lot of people were talking about how the Hispanic vote really came out and really did a lot for Obama. But even before that was a big deal, I was saying that I thought in 2016 what you're going to see is Castro versus Rubio in 2016. I still think that's a pretty good chance that's going to happen.
Fidel Castro versus Rubio, the guy from Harry Potter?
Forget it. Just read the card.
All right. This one is Flum. This one is Flum. This one is from Bloodsboro.
Oh.
Bloodsboro, who apparently writes too much, because this appears to have been abridged or digested a bit. So, thank you for your question, but make it shorter. When you play an RPG or a video game, what kind of character do you play? Like a fighter, a mage, stealth person, high-tech person, that kind of thing.
That's a good question, really.
It is, and it's something I struggle with. I can't quite seem to settle. And it depends. When the producer and I are playing together, it's a very different deal than when I'm playing solo. As a rule, I frequently do the magic user and things. Lately, I have started playing more with stealthy characters in some games. Very seldom do I go for the straight fighter. Excuse me. I had a game recently that had you could do magic or could do technology, and I did technology. In those kind of situations, I often find myself, if there's a character type that I don't think is very common in video games, or a character type that I feel like not a lot of people would try it, I often go for that one, because I like being different. What about you, Dairy Queen?
Well, what about RPGs in general? You know, like, let's say you're going to play, and I know you don't...
We're talking tabletop RPGs, I don't think there's a pattern.
For you?
I think it varies all over the place. But it's been a long time since I've played any, so it's hard to say.
Well, I have never played any kind of RPG besides a video game. And I pretty much always pick a magic user. And if I was playing Mass Effect myself, which I'm not, I'm just watching other people play. And I don't know if I will play it or not, but I would probably pick an adept.
I should tell you on that a couple things. First of all, biotics, which is the psychic power stuff in Mass Effect, kind of suck in the first one. You're very limited.
But it doesn't matter.
But it changes fairly drastically in 2 and 3.
Right, but what I'm getting at with that is, that's usually the case. I mean, I've played several games where you can pick these things. And with Mass Effect, just in case you don't know, there's basically 3 basic classes. There's the person that uses Mass Effect, which is kind of like Jedi powers in a way, but it's mostly with force.
There's your psychic person, there's your techie person, and there's your fighty person.
Yeah, and then they have 3 other classes where you're 2 of...
Yeah, half and half.
Half
yeah.
of, like, so you can be a soldier with the psychic stuff, or you can be a tech person that's a soldier too, and so on. So there's lots of choices. And so if you want to have that psychic stuff, you still can in 3 other choices, but I would still probably pick the one who's just the psychic person, even knowing, because, you know, like you just said, it's kind of weak in the first game, but I find those characters are often weak in all games, not the one you want to choose.
No, I don't mean weak in terms of survivability. I mean the biotic abilities in Mass Effect 1 are kind of boring.
No, and sometimes that's even true, too, in other games.
I'm not talking about viability. They're just as viable as anything. It's just not that interesting.
Yeah, well, it's still what I often pick. And I can't even think of why that is.
What are you guys playing right now?
The 2 other people in the house who are playing, the adult is playing a Sentinel. So that's tech and...
Biotics.
Yeah, the biotics.
All right.
And the other person is playing a... the one where it says soldier with biotics.
Okay. Vanguard. I believe.
Yeah.
When I started, I played through it about 1.5 times. First time I played it, I played a Sentinel. And then after playing through it, when I started again, I wanted to do... the first time I did Paragon, I wanted to do Renegade. And that time, I decided to go full engineer, full... tech, because the tech is far and away the most interesting stuff in the first game to me. Those abilities and stuff are very cool. I like them. I will tell you, in going forward, in each game, even when you're loading from previous ones, you can re-choose which class you're going to be.
Oh, interesting.
I almost did. I opted not to, just because it didn't feel right from a role-playing perspective. I was like, this is who my shepherd is. My shepherd's always... I mean, my shepherd's not going to suddenly wonder, oh, no, I'm a soldier. You know, it's not going to suddenly change. That being said, I think the engineer was the best one to do in the first one. I really do. Overall, for the whole series, I personally think the Adept is the coolest. The biotic powers get very interesting later, and I like them.
Well, and I can't even tell you why. I mean, I've played a lot of games where you can pick a class and customize the character. Like in the console versions of Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath, I always played a wizard. Always.
I tend to like to do that too.
But I don't even know why that is. I mean,
it's just cool. It's an aesthetic preference.
I guess. I mean, I really don't know why. Although when I started a character in Skyrim, and I didn't play for very long, I did start a character in Skyrim, and I resolved I wasn't going to use any magic at all.
Oh.
I decided that I was going to, if I had to engage in any conflict whatsoever, I would have, I would do it with archery if I could, and if I couldn't, I would just go with a sword or some kind of sharp weapon. And then I would work on those tasks, and also speech and things like that. Because in games where you can up your speech or conversation, and that means something, and that can get you places, I like that.
I also like that, but I'm also wary of that because a lot of video games that's an option, but it's often a really stupid or dull option.
Sometimes
I like ones if they've really put thought into what that means, and you can really play a social game. Yeah. I like that.
But
far too often that doesn't happen.
And why in Skyrim I suddenly decided, no, I'm going to try to avoid magic, play this game without any magic at all, I have no idea.
I think it's fun to break out of those things. I think it's fun when you start recognizing, I tend to play this character. Then the next time you're like, I'm going to play something different on purpose.
Yeah, maybe that's all there was to it. I just
I've done that a couple times back in role-playing games. I remember one time I had always, tried to come up with these really interesting, weird characters. I like a lot of the magic users, but I often just like the ones that have lots of little fiddly things to them. Whatever it is. If they're into gadgets, or they have a lot of powers, or, just lots of little options and things. I like the jack-of-all-trades characters a lot. And so one time, we're playing a game, and I said, you know what? I'm going to play a fighter. A fighter who is very strong and not that intelligent, and who is tall, big, just going to play that. It was really fun. It was a really fun change of pace. And it's not like... I didn't make him two-dimensional, ultimately. I fleshed out that idea, but that was the original concept. It was really fun. I did that a couple other times, too. There was an Earthdawn campaign, which I ended up really loving. And the start of that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a thief. The traditional thief. He's a nice guy. He speaks softly, that kind of stuff. But mostly, he's out for himself, and he likes to steal shit. And he's very sneaky. Real straightforward.
Yeah.
And he did start off with that, and that character grew immensely. Grew to the degree that I will say after a year-long campaign, I ended up retiring that character because he actually sacrificed himself to save everyone else. Wow. That's how much character growth there was in him.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it's fun to break out of those bits, but I haven't actually played in a game in so long.
Maybe the reason I pick magic wielders and stuff is because... usually, character-wise, when they... it's not just that they wield magic. It's that in the world that they exist, they're almost always, people who study, they're like students or associated with some kind of school or university. It's not just that they're intellectual. There's also some, spiritual aspects or whatever. So it's like... I don't know. I guess I feel like I relate to that more than I relate to someone who is... more physical.
It's the nerdy character in the fantasy world or whatever.
I guess that's true.
Because a lot of the really nerdy guys I knew did that, including me. Well, let me ask you this, though, and this is slightly off topic, but when has that ever stopped us? I know in your household, you play female characters in your video games.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that can frequently be a factor in whether or not you want to play a game, is whether or not that's an option.
Yes, that's right.
As a household. And I understand that. And I
well,
think,
I don't personally play female characters.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. When you're playing a game and you mm-hmm. can pick, what do you pick?
Oh, I always pick male.
Okay.
Pretty much always. I mean, there have been a couple times where I've picked female where I'm in a cooperative game with one of the other females
or
in the house.
If you're stuck, it's like, I want to play the archer and all there is a female
sure, sure,
archer.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I mean, assuming you have your options.
No, I always pick them. And I also, if I have a choice, I always pick a human character, not an elf
okay.
or an orc.
And this is all self-identification?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I don't think I put a lot of thought into it. You know, I don't sit there and think, gosh, maybe I thought, you know what I mean? If they say create your character, I immediately think of creating a character that's most like me.
Okay.
And the more choice I have in making the character like me it's going to be. Like in Skyrim, you know, I pick a human. I pick, you know, usually a Breton because the default character already looks a lot like me, you know, and so on and so forth. And then I might tweak some. I'll give it blue eyes, you know. It's almost like the game has told me, make this character as much like you as possible, and that's what I do. It almost doesn't even occur to me to say, I could do anything I want here. I could be one of those cat creatures, or I could be one of these lizard creatures, or I could be female. It almost doesn't even enter
my mind.
To
be fair, when we used to play on Second Life, you looked largely like you.
Yeah, that's true.
Me less so.
It's just where my brain goes, and you know, I mean, I'm sure in the back of my mind, I know, well, you don't have to do it like this. You could do anything you want. But I just don't put in that little extra mental effort to figure all that out.
Yeah.
And so I just do it the way I do.
Whereas I always play females for a variety of reasons. Some more intellectual, some more visceral, some intelligible, some ridiculous. But I mean, it's just everything about it. I like the escapism and that whole thing of sort of being different than me.
Mm.
Of course, I have a truckload of gender identity issues, much of which I have dealt with in an online environment already, so being able to do that works. I feel there's an underrepresentation, and it's almost a political move on my part to do that.
Yeah.
And frequently you're looking at the character, particularly their back end, the whole time you play, and often, for good or for ill, the female characters are rendered much nicer to look at. There's just tons of reasons, and I find it weird that a huge majority, almost all of the straight males I know, always play male characters.
Well, of course, I don't.
Like 95%.
I wouldn't object to playing a female character.
No. But that's the thing. And a lot of them wouldn't. This is what they pick. And I don't begrudge them that, but there's something insidious about that statistic that I completely just made up. there's just something weird that, it doesn't occur to them, or like they have a stake in it somehow. I mean, why else would it be so overwhelming? Because it really is. It seems really rare.
How many women who are playing pick a male character?
All this is anecdotal, but I find it a higher percentage. And some of that I think I attribute to women who have been gaming for a while may just be used to it, because for a long time you had very little option. Or you had stupid shit, which sadly still exists in some cases, where you can play a female, but your strength is going to go down and your charisma will go up or something like that.
Yeah.
Where the female characters actually have different base stats. Oh, I still hate that so much.
I mean, for me personally, keep in mind that, you know, not only will I not choose a female character, you know, naturally. I won't choose a muscular character or character that has other attributes that I can't personally relate to, which doesn't make any sense because it's not me, it's a character. But
William will never play a character that doesn't have a hat.
It's just, I can't explain it. And you know, you and I have spoken before about if I did do tabletop role-playing, I'd probably build my character in such a way that would be very much me in this environment, you know, whatever I have to add to make that work.
In particular...
That's just the way I think, I guess.
We've often discussed it. The ethical and moral template of your character would probably... like, I'm not even sure you would be capable or comfortable playing a role-playing character that had, like, major views different than you.
It depends, but yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the reasons I was an actor in high school.
Oh yeah, I believe you could do an impression of something.
Fairly accomplished, but one of the reasons when I came to college and I auditioned for some plays and got some callbacks and stuff, one of the reasons that I actually turned down some roles and decided I wasn't going to go into acting was because I realized there were a lot of roles I wouldn't take. And I realized that, you know, actors need to not be like that. But I decided that I was like that. And it wasn't that I had a problem with other actors who would play the roles or anything like that. It's just, it just wasn't something I wanted to do. I wouldn't want to play Adolf Hitler, for example. I wouldn't want to do it. It's not that I think it's bad for an actor to do that or that it's going to mess with an actor's head or whatever. It's, for me personally, I just didn't want to do it. And there were lots of other types of characters that I knew I would not want to play, things I wouldn't want to do, and I realized, well, then it's not fair for me to be out there saying, hey, I'm an actor. I auditioned for a part, and they call me back for the part I didn't want, but it's the part and the thing they want me to play, and I say, oh, no, I don't play that kind of thing. I mean, that would just be stupid, so... I decided I wasn't going to do that and that I wasn't suited for that.
You're weird.
Well, and I think it does cross over to role-playing games and the like because...
It would have to.
Well, I suppose...
Anything you don't want to do as an actor...
For example...
You're probably not going to want to do as a role player.
I think I would feel odd playing a female character almost like it was... I don't know. Like it was bad, you know, like it was.
Yeah. And there are issues. And I got to admit in role-playing games, like actual tabletop role-playing games, I frequently will play female characters. I still sometimes feel weird about it, but it becomes this sort of second guessing thing. I'm like, am I being cliche? Am I like everything I do? I'm like reevaluating my thing. I'm like, am I playing a woman, or am I playing some male version of a woman? Like, and so then I just get nervous about it sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to describe what my issues are with it, but yeah, mostly I don't feel comfortable pretending I'm somebody that I'm not. At least not too far. I mean, for me personally, as a creative person, you know. And someone who tells stories, especially stories with characters in them, I have to acknowledge to some extent that there's a whole bunch of people in here in my head, you know? And a lot of them are very different from me. But yet, because they're in there, they're a part of me and the part of who I am. You know, there are some characters that either aren't in there or I just don't want to give them voice at all, no matter what. And so I'm not going to write those characters in a story. I'm not going to act those characters in a play, and I'm not going to pretend to be those characters in the game. Like, if I was playing Mass Effect, and again, for people who don't know, like a lot of BioWare games, there's a component where you can...
Be good or be bad.
Basically.
In this version, it's whether or not you sort of are kind and positive and follow along and do... It's whether you're a good guy or whether you're an asshole who gets things done.
They did it a lot better in their BioWare did it better in Knights of the Old Republic, where you were either...
Well, because they had a really easy template.
I know, but
it was
like,
just light side, but, dark side.
Yes, but they also made it so that those two extremes weren't... I mean, you know, you could be somewhere in the middle. And
but that was really boring, and you just lost a lot of content.
I don't know how boring it was. I mean, they met some Jedi who were in the middle, and
yes,
they did. Very interesting characters.
But if you actually played a character in the middle, all that happened was you missed out on them.
Well, I suppose that's true.
And that is still somewhat true in Mass Effect.
Right.
Because even when you're at your most Paragon, you can do some renegade things. But in general, you need to go all one way or all the other, or else you'll miss out on stuff.
Well, you know, the adult that's playing in our house pretty much maxed out Paragon really early, and I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. And but I'm serious about it, especially by the time it gets to the third game, like, if you haven't really committed to one path or the other, you will, like, and it's not even like you just won't, like, just things will happen differently because you weren't good enough or you weren't bad enough. So trust me, for the biggest experience, commit one way or the other.
Well, but I usually do. I mean, you know,
I try and mix it up, because that's in the BioWare games, that's the common thing. Good or bad, male or female. And so it's a quadrant.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I do, I ideally play each game twice, and I pick a morality and a gender the first time, and then I switch both the second time.
Mm.
But which I start with, I try and vary. I'm like, well, was I really good or really bad in the last game I played? Okay, then I'll be the opposite.
Yeah. Well, and that we do typically play BioWare games several times. One, for one thing, they're usually shorter than a lot of other games we play, but also there's trophies that you can only get if you play it more than once.
Absolutely.
But also, as you just pointed out, you can play, like you said, different genders and different, I should probably say different sexes, and different alignments, if you will, and that can really change the dynamics
and
of the game.
And
different classes, too.
And the romances are more aligned with that. Some of the Mass Effect ones, there are actual characters that you can have romances with, regardless of which sex you pick.
Yeah, but
but often there are very specific, this person's only going to go with a dude, this person's only going to go with a woman.
Yeah.
Which can get frustrating.
And the heterosexual ones are so much easier. I mean, from what I can tell. You know, when as I'm watching the game, it's like, if you have a female character, the male character who you can hook up with is flirting with you almost right away. You know that you guys could have a relationship like 2 hours into the game. See, but if the female character won't even think about it unless you work on them a long time, and then they start flirting with you back. I mean, the heterosexual stuff is a lot easier to do than the
non-heterosexual stuff. See, I find that interesting. In the first Mass Effect, people talk about that. Not only did I not have that with the male guy, but I got to a point where I didn't even get very close to him. Like, he stopped, we weren't able, like, because even for people that you can't have a romance with, you can build the relationship. You go
really
and you talk to them and you give
them.
And he cut me off way early, and we never really flirted or anything. I mean, it didn't matter, because in the first game, you have three romance options. Actually, you really only have two. There is a member of the opposite sex who you can go with. And then there is an alien who is from a race that's all female, which I still find funny, because wouldn't you just be neither if that's the case? Who will go with you regardless, male or female?
Hmm.
So you have one bisexual alien and a human of the opposite sex are your only options.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out, hot blue-skinned woman will totally do me regardless of what I am, I'm not messing around, you know. What, with Caden? Come on! Caden's up. Anyway, so I didn't go for it anyway.
Well, but the Dragon Age games are the same, really.
Well, and I will say that actually changes. Some of it looks a little bit sort of like they're pushing too hard from focus groups. But later on, you will encounter people who are more openly bisexual and even homosexual, some of which have nothing to do with romance plot lines with you, and some of which, I mean, I don't want to give it, but by the third game, I accidentally, playing a female character, pretty much accidentally hooked up with this other woman really early on. Like,
well, that's unusual for BioWare games, as far as I can tell.
Well, they've been working
on it.
Which
that's not a big reason we play the game, so it's not a big deal. But it's just something I noticed.
But and we need to give BioWare credit, because BioWare it is a big thing to have homosexual romance plot lines in video games. It's a big, that's a big step. And BioWare is mostly the only people doing it. And they're not doing it as well as they should, but they're doing it. And we got to give them credit for that. Because there have been, I mean, romances are a relatively new thing in video games, but they were always straight. And now you're being given options and things that other people can identify with.
Well, it's kind of funny that's true, though. That you, like you say, they're always straight, because, I mean, as the person developing the game, you had to go out of your way to make that true. It seems to me it would be a lot easier just to allow these types of relationships with whoever the player is, and instead of, like, adding that little bit of code in there to say, okay, if it's a male and if it's a female. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the more you identify it, it becomes, I mean, they've tried to, it comes up in Mass Effect. Clearly, in the civilization they're dealing with, there's still homosexuality still appears to be in the minority, because you'll have conversations where somebody will mention they're attracted to somebody else, and you'll be like, "But they're of the same sex," and they're like, "So?" And you're like, "Oh, I guess that's true."
Well, so again, comes up, that happens like, in Dragon Age also.
The Fable series is not a thing, but that's because your relationships there's not a lot of dialogue or anything between them. So you can sort of just... I mean, some people are into it and some aren't. Around, like, the people you run into in the world, in Fable, you can flirt with anybody. And some of them will go for it and some of them won't. And some of them will go for it if you're male but not if you're female, or vice versa. Some of them will go for it either way. Some of them not at all. They tried to make it fairly reasonable. And there's nothing about them that indicates it. They've just... Each little character you'll run into is programmed. Like, this person likes men, this person likes women, this person likes neither, this person likes both. And you can end up marrying any of them, but there's not... It's all silly. It's all, you know, you flirt with them and they get a little heart over their head, and over time you woo them and give... But there's no, like, discussion about what we mean to each other and what our relationship is.
Now, you're talking about video games allowing this. Now, of course, The Sims you've been able to do just about any combination that you've wanted for a long time. And also in Skyrim, you can marry any...
Yeah,
sex.
That is... Well, that's new Skyrim, because in Oblivion, I don't think you can get married yet.
No.
So it's brand new
I don't
Skyrim.
Think there were romances in Oblivion at all.
No.
But marriage is in Skyrim, and you can marry any, you know...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. There's no
it's the same thing, though. There's not a lot of intricate relationship. I mean, I'll tell you right now, whatever romance stuff you do in this... It's going to be involved in terms of conversation. There's going to be lots of discussion about how you feel about each other and shit like that. There will be way more talking about romance than romance.
Well, you know, our experience with the game so far is that, you know, Caden or whatever was really flirtatious right up front. It's like, wow, they're making this easy, you know. And, of course, the person in my house wasn't really interested in that, so we just sort of shoot it away. But we noticed how easy it could have been.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even come up with the character, you know, the female character. So it's kind of odd.
That may be just how they built those characters. Because when I played the second time and decided, well, you know, I'll be different. So I'll go for the human. I'm playing a male this time. I'll go for the human female instead of the hot alien chick. For as long as I played, we didn't really get there. We were building the friendship, and it kind of made sense in that we weren't, we didn't know each other well. So, it seemed very natural, and it can be very interesting. For example, and again, I feel like I'm going to be very nebulous in how I say this. In one of the later games, there is a character that you is not just a little side character or something, like, is a major character that will be a major part of that game that flirts with you if you are of the proper sex that they want to flirt with you, very hard, very heavy, very fast, very early on, and there is no romance possibility at all. It's just their personality.
It's yeah, well, just their personality. That happens in Dragon Age a little bit too,
and so that may be like that. They may have made Caden to be a flirt, except in my game for some reason. I don't know. And, well, and there's stuff I'm totally not going to spoil on the air, but I also don't know exactly how far you are, so I don't want to spoil shit there either.
Yeah.
But anyway, we should wrap it up because we're at an hour and we have to record another one of these.
Okay.
So, thank you to Anonymous and Blood Sparrow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You win, nothing. You all should write in to the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com to give us more stuff to talk about, because really, the shit we're talking about now is really boring, isn't it? So find the more interesting stuff.
There are some listeners who I know don't like when we talk about gaming, because...
You know, I do know that.
Or they don't they game, or they don't...
write in more...
play the games that we play.
...about other stuff, and that will stop us. I'm sure of it. In the meantime, everybody have a good week. We'll be back in, like, 8 minutes. But for you guys, it will have been a week. So, enjoy your week. Won't you? You guys have something to say?
No.
All right.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his Podsafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.